Well, morning everyone. My name's Karen. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Stax Kids, for your excellent acting out before. So obviously our Bible story is about Jesus turning water into wine. And the bit that got me was right at the end. It says the disciples started to believe in Jesus. And it got me thinking about the sort of things that I believe in. Now, I have a picture to show you, a couple of pictures to show you, that you might not believe. So do you want to bring up the first one? So this is a picture of four men lifting a tank in the air. It's an army tank. It's quite a heavy sort of thing. So the French man who saw this happen didn't believe it either. But this is actually a true picture from the Second World War. Apparently the US Army had a secret unit of soldiers known as the Ghost Army, and their job was to trick the German army into where their enemy forces were. Do you want to bring up the next one? So there's another tank and some men lifting it up. And the last one. So their job, the Ghost Army's job, was to... they had hundreds of inflatable tanks and trucks and jeeps and stuff. And they used to put them in a spot far away from where the actual troops were to trick everyone into believing that there was heaps and heaps of soldiers and a unit of soldiers somewhere where there weren't. And the idea was that other units, real units of soldiers, could get through undetected. So is it believable that four men could lift a tank? Well, maybe. So what do we believe in? Sometimes it can be hard to know. And other times we need to believe in things that we can't see or touch or understand. So think for a moment with me about aeroplanes. Now, I don't know about you, but to me they look big and heavy, and yet somehow they fly in the sky. When I was 5, my parents told me that we were flying to England on a plane. And, you know, I was a little bit scared. But they told me that this big, heavy plane would fly. And I totally believed them, because it was my parents. I believed what they said. Now, it did. This big, heavy plane did fly. And that was quite exciting. And since then, I've been on hundreds of flights all over the world. And not once have I doubted what my parents told me when I was 5... that aeroplanes could fly. Now, I believed them when I was 5 because I trusted them, but I also believe them now because I've experienced it so many times. Not once has an aeroplane that I've been on failed to fly like it's meant to. So in the Bible, we read lots of stories of things that maybe seem a bit unbelievable. First of all, there's a God who creates an entire world out of nothing. There's a bush that's on fire in the middle of the desert that doesn't burn up. There's a sea which parts down the middle, and that's just in the first two books of the Bible. And when we get to the New Testament, which is where our reading from John comes from, we find even more surprising things, mostly about a guy called Jesus. So he was a king, but he was born in a stable, in a barn. He healed a man that was born blind, and he made 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish feed 5,000 people. And that's just a few of the things that Jesus did. So today we've heard a story that some might find hard to believe, that Jesus turned water into wine. Now, I've never seen that done before, and none of us were there at the wedding. So how do we know to believe it or not? Could have been a trick, just like Rachel turned water into wine. Was that a trick? Did she actually do it? Well, we're going to find out. But what's the point? Why have this story in the Bible? It's not like somebody's being raised to life or something. You know, it's just water and wine. Why put it in the Bible? Well, if we have a read of the Bible, John chapter 2, verse 11, the end of our story says, "This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. Thus he revealed his glory, and the disciples put their faith in him." So it's telling us that it's about revealing Jesus' glory. Well, that just means showing us how amazing Jesus really is. And because of this, the disciples believed in him. And I think we should as well. But why should we believe? Well, somebody much smarter than I am, John Wesley, many, many years ago, came up with a theory about 4 things to help us believe. So the first one at the top of the ladder there is Scripture. So the Bible, reading the Bible and believing what's written in it. The second one is reason, using our brain and the brains of many other people who've written very big, impressive books, to decide if what we've been told makes sense. Is it logical? Do we understand it? The third one is tradition. So I've got a communion cup here. This is one of the traditions that we have as being part of the church, is sharing in the Lord's Supper. So looking at history, looking at 2,000 years of church history since Jesus was born, and seeing all those people who've believed in God, does that help us to understand and believe? And the fourth one is experience. And I've got a little aeroplane because I believed because of what my parents told me about aeroplanes. So using our personal experience of the world and of God to help us believe, and using that to understand God's love for us. So we're going to do a check using these four things to help us decide if we should believe the story of Jesus turning water into wine. And to help us, we're going to compare it to another person who turned water into wine, Rachel, this morning. So the first one's scripture. Now, the Bible is full of stories about Jesus, including miracles he did, wisdom that he taught, predictions about Jesus from the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, which came true in the second half of the Bible, the New Testament. Now, as far as I'm aware, there's no mention of a Rachel Burrows in the Bible. So there's no mention of her doing miracles in particular. So we'll get there. So number two, reason. Now we've read about Jesus in the Bible, and from what we know about him, I think it's pretty reasonable that he could do miracles. So the Old Testament, as we've heard, is full of prophecies about Jesus, all of which came true. So it's reasonable to believe that the stories in the Gospels are true as well. Now, I've known Rachel for quite a long time, but I've never seen her do a miracle. I suppose she could have learned to do a miracle, but that doesn't, I don't know, when I think about that logically, it doesn't make sense to me. And number three, tradition. Now, the Gospels, as we've heard, are full of stories about Jesus doing miracles. And over the 2,000 years since Jesus was born, heaps of people have believed what they've read in the Bible. Now, Don and Jenny might be able to tell us, Rachel's parents, does Rachel do miracles at home? No. Okay. So there's no tradition of Rachel being miraculous, or of other people believing that she's miraculous. And number four, I hope you know where this is going, experience. So in John chapter 2, the master of ceremonies tasted the water that had been turned into wine and said it was the best wine he'd ever tasted. So we need to do a final test of Rachel's miracle. I need some volunteers to come and taste her wine. But now, for this to be good, they need to have tasted wine already to know how to compare it. So I need some people who've tasted wine who are happy to come and taste Rachel's wine this morning. I'm looking for some adults, and they're all sort of looking down at the floor. And I see Jenica putting her hand up. Come on, Jenica. I need one more. Somebody else brave. Don, you're going to come and taste whether Rachel's wine is actually wine. Come and have a glass. You can have a glass. You can just have a taste. Cheers, Don. Okay.
Water.
It's definitely water. I'm sorry, Rachel. So we have disproved Rachel's miracle this morning. It was just for fun. But that's okay. But what about our story from John 2 and the miracle that Jesus did? The disciples put their faith in Jesus after seeing it. Mary, Jesus' mother, believed he was capable of doing a miracle even before he did it. And over 2,000 years of church history, people have believed what the Bible has told them. So what about you? Do you believe that Jesus did this miracle? So later in the book of John, at the very end of the book of John, we hear these words. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now I know that many of you here have already put your trust in Jesus, and that's fantastic. Keep it up. Keep telling other people about what you know and believe. But for those of you who aren't sure, let me encourage you to continue investigating Jesus. Read the Bible. Ask the hard questions. Study the past and decide for yourself if Jesus is worth following. And I think you'll find that the answer is yes.